It's good to have Daniel at the piano tonight. Amber was sick this morning, and Daniel came and filled in for us, and we'd really delight in having him help out in that way. It's been a joy to have the ministers with us this weekend. I am just delighted the fact that they took time from their busy schedule and came all the way across the United States and from Canada as well to be a part of the services yesterday and again today. And I just want to thank them and their congregations for allowing them to come and be a part of our time together this weekend. I couldn't ask for a better preacher than the one we have tonight. Reggie Cranston is no stranger to us here. He has preached on occasion on the weekends. He's preached when I've been gone. We've had him for special meetings. And truly, the Lord has gifted him to exalt Christ. And we're looking forward then to the word that the Lord has given our brother. I'm glad that these men have been here to preach. I do not know how you do that when your own heart is moved. I'm glad that these men are here and they can take over and just preach Christ to us. So I'm looking forward to our brothers coming and giving us the Lord's word tonight. And brother, come along and preach the word.
I'd like you to turn with me this evening in the word of the Lord to the Gospel of Luke. Turning to Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. And as you turn to that portion of Scripture, it is a joy for me to be here over this very special weekend. I do thank our brother Palsy for calling me up a few weeks ago and inviting me to come. And it was a joy and a blessing to be there yesterday and to listen to the reports of all in the ministry of the Word. And I was telling someone, I remember the day I left my church in Newton Abbey in Northern Ireland, and I stood at the door to shake hands with people going out, and my nose was running, my eyes were streaming with tears, and I couldn't say a word to anybody that went out past me. So I know something of what it's like to leave a people that you really love and minister too. Now we're laboring for the Lord in Port Hope. Port Hope is about 60 miles east of Toronto. And we've been there for 23 years. I'd like to bring greetings from our church in Port Hope to Dr. Allison and his wife. We know Hannah's already in Greenville. And as I said yesterday, from ever I knew Dr. Allison, I looked upon him as a man of God, a man of great grace, and just simply a good man. And we'll be praying for you, brother and sister, as many others will, indeed the whole denomination. And we know that while Malvern's loss, it is indeed Greenville and the seminary's gain. And we praise the Lord for our brother, and we'll be praying for you, that soon someone will hear the Macedonian call. Come over and help us. And even right now, the sovereign God has chosen someone. It's only a matter of time. And the Lord's timing is always perfect. Just as it was when the Lord challenged the disciples about feeding the 5,000. They didn't know what they were going to do. Indeed, the Lord saw the multitude before the disciples did. And the disciples didn't know how they were going to meet that problem. But then we have the words, He Himself knew what He would do. And before the congregation here, or perhaps Dr. Allison, knew anything about going to Greenville, the Lord Himself knew what He would do. It's all in His hands, and that's a great comfort. And so we'll be praying that the Lord indeed will send a man after His own heart to occupy this pulpit and preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. It's good to be back And Malvern again, we have many friends here, enjoyed fellowship here so many times. I'd like to thank Joe and Sharon, who are very dear friends of ours, for putting me up, putting up with me over this weekend. And I pray the Lord's blessing upon them. And it's good to renew fellowship with my ministerial brethren as well. We don't see each other as often as perhaps I would and with my ministers in Ulster, but it's always good when we get together. So we're turning this evening to the Gospel of Luke. Luke's Gospel, chapter 4. I'd like to begin our reading at verse 33. Luke 4 and verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God." And Jesus rebuked him, saying, "Hold thy peace, and come out of him." And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. And they were all amazed, and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." And the fame of him went out into every place of the country round about. And he arose out of the synagogue and entered into Simon's house. And Simon's wife's mother was taken with a great fever, and they besought him for her. And he stood over her and rebuked the fever, and it left her. And immediately she arose and ministered unto them. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him. And he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, "Thou art Christ, the Son of God." And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stared him, that he should not depart from them. And he said unto them, "I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent." And he preached in the synagogues of Galilee. Amen. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and may the Lord open the word to our hearts this evening. Before we consider God's word, let us unite just now in a word of prayer. O Lord our God and eternal Father, we're glad we are in thy house this Sabbath evening. And O Lord, we would say this evening with the Emmaus disciples, the day is far spent. It is toward evening. Lord, abide with us. And we pray that we might know the abiding presence of our Savior. And the doctor and Mrs. Allison will also know the abiding presence of the Lord as they make their way to Greenville later on this week. And O Lord, may thy people here in this congregation know the presence of the King, King Jesus, in their midst in the days to come. And O loving God, do bless this congregation. We thank thee for it. And O Lord, I pray thou will pour out thy blessing upon it. Now, Lord, come, I pray. Shut us in with thyself. Grant to me, Lord, the power of the Holy Spirit of God, that, Lord, I might be enabled to preach the word. And in preaching the word, I will preach Christ. And I will speak well of his finished work. For it is in and through his wonderful and precious name that we ask all these things. Amen. Luke chapter 4. And our text for this evening is found in verse 36. And they were all amazed, that is, those who were in the synagogue, and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? For with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. And I want us to focus upon those words. What a word is this? In this fourth chapter of Luke's Gospel, the evangelist, as it were, brings us to the battlefield, where the forces of good and evil engage in conflict. From the wilderness of Judea to the synagogues in Nazareth, Galilee, and Capernaum, the captain of our salvation faced the forces of evil and the powers of hell. For 40 days and 40 nights, the dark powers of the underworld taunted and tempted the Lord of hosts in an attempt to overthrow him. To overthrow him. But in such a contest, in such a conflict, there will only be one victor. There will only be one victor. There will only be one champion. There will only be one conqueror. There will only be one overcomer. And that one is Christ. It would be he who went forth conquering and to conquer. He who has never lost a battle. He who has never known defeat. In the wilderness, he put the devil to flight. Luke 4, verse 13. And when the devil had ended all temptations, he departed from him for a season. The contest then moved from the wilderness to the place of worship. Verse 33. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice. But what did we read in verse 13? And when the devil ended the temptations, he departed from him. Then we have those words, for a season. We always know that when we gain victory over the devil, he'll always come back again. He'll leave us, yes, but it's only for a season. And while he departed from Christ in the wilderness, he was back again. And there in the synagogue, there was this man with an unclean spirit or demon. An unclean spirit or demon that crawled out of the abyss. He met with the same fate as the devil in the wilderness. He was defeated and cast out by him. This unclean spirit was defeated by him who is all holiness, all purity, all righteousness, almighty, all powerful, and all victorious. But the conflict with hell's forces was not confined to the wilderness or to a place of worship. In fact, everywhere that the Lord's ministry took him, Satan's forces were present. Look at verse 40. Now when the sun was setting, all they that had any sick with diverse diseases brought them unto him, and he laid his hands on every one of them and healed them, and devils. There they are again. Forces of hell. Powers of the underworld. And devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. And he, rebuking them, suffered them not to speak, for they knew that he was Christ. But while he may have been plagued by devils and demons and the spirits of darkness, the King of Glory was always victorious. Victorious in the wilderness. Victorious in the place of worship. Victorious as he walked and taught. The devil was always defeated. And let us remember that. Our great adversary, the great accuser of the brethren, has been defeated. He's a defeated foe. And our Redeemer is the all-conquering Savior. But how did the Lord defeat the devil? How did he overthrow this unclean spirit? Because we know that his weapon, or the weapon of his warfare, is not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of the strongholds. So what weapon did the Savior use to slay the dragon? Sure, he used the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. And when he wielded this sword in the synagogue, those that were gathered there were amazed. They were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, What a word is this? That for with authority and power he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out. That's my text. What a word is this? And what a word it is. We might say it's like the sword of Goliath. There is none like it. Give it me. So, what can we learn from this word that caused those in the synagogue to exclaim, What a word is this? First thing that we notice is that it is the word that disturbs the devil. The word that disturbs the devil. There is nothing that disturbs the devil and the demons more than the faithful preaching of God's word. Look at verse 28 of chapter 4. And there in verse 28, and all they in the synagogue, when they heard these things, were filled with wrath. And rose up and thrust him out of the city and led him onto the brow of the hill whereon their city was built, that they might cast him down headlong. Praise the Lord, he wasn't for dying on that hill. It would be another hill. But you can see that when he preached the word, they were filled with wrath. Preaching of the word, the faithful preaching of God's word, will always disturb the devil. Look at the life of Paul. Paul, who cried, We preach Christ crucified. And because he preached Christ crucified, Paul was battered and beaten and bruised. And Satan was the one who held the rod that battered and bruised him and beat him. It is the word, you see, that smites the conscience, the word that convinces of sin. It is the word that converts sinner and robs hell of souls. That's why the devil is disturbed. Oh, what a word is this. It strikes fear into the demons and shakes the very gates of hell. That's what the word does. What a word is this. And the Savior entered the synagogue in Capernaum, preaching and teaching. And we are told an unclean devil was disturbed. Notice first of all the presence of a devil. We should not think it a strange thing to find a demon or a devil in a place of worship. For you call what the prophet Zechariah said. And he showed me Joshua the high priest standing before the angel of the Lord and Satan standing at his right hand to resist him. Here was the priest ministering unto the Lord. It's as if he couldn't get any closer to the Lord than that. And lo and behold, at his right hand is Satan. At his right hand. To resist him. And I'm sure my ministerial colleagues here tonight have experienced that. And how Satan, during the preaching of the word, is sought to resist the preacher. And so here is Joshua, the high priest, going toe-to-toe against the devil, against Satan, as he ministered unto the Lord. So why may we even expect the devil to be present in our meetings? You turn to Mark 4. Mark chapter 4, we have there the parable of the sower. And the Lord told the parable, and then after a while, when the Lord was alone with his disciples, they asked him to explain or interpret the parable to them. And we read in Mark 4 and verse 14, the Lord is explaining the parable or interpreting it, and he says, "The sower soweth the word. And these are they by the wayside where the word is sown. And when they have heard, Satan cometh immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their hearts." Satan cometh immediately. And dear hearer here tonight, that's what the devil is about, even in this meeting this evening. As the word of God goes forth, and you're hearing the word tonight, Satan is here to steal away the word from your heart. That you go home from this meeting with nothing in your heart. That's the dirty business the devil is about. He cometh immediately and taketh away the word. Because you see, he knows that the entrance of the word giveth light. Giveth light. And all the sons of Adam were born in sin and shapen in iniquity and are in darkness. And the entrance of the word giveth light. So what does the devil want? He wants to keep the sinner in darkness. If you're here tonight and you're not saved, that's the business the devil is about in your life. Do you know that? He wants to keep you in darkness. And so you will steal away the word. As Paul says in 2 Corinthians 4, verse 4, the God of this world hath blinded the minds of them which believe not, lest the light of the glorious gospel, or those words can be rendered, the gospel of the glorious Christ, who is the image of God, should shine unto them. He wants to keep you in darkness until the day that he drags your soul away from time and out into outer darkness, where you'll be in darkness for all eternity. And the only thing that will change that is the Word. What a word is this. As the psalmist has said, Psalm 19 and verse 8, the commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. But the devil wants to take away the word, to keep you in darkness. What a word is this that so disturbs the devil, because it breaks the power of canceled sin and sets the prisoner free. He hates the word. And the word disturbs the devil. If the devil is not disturbed in a church building, there's something wrong. There's many a church throughout North America, and the devil's not disturbed. Do you know why? Because the word's not preached. And people sit in their pews and they get their ears tickled and they're told they're all right. Nothing to worry about. God is a God of love. Doesn't matter what you do. Doesn't matter how you live. So the devil will not disturb anybody. But preach the word, and hell will rise up against you. You have the presence of the devil. You have the plea of the devil. This unclean devil. Verse 33, this unclean spirit, we are told, cried out with a loud voice. And then we are told what he cried, said, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Well, that was to be expected, wasn't it? This was an unclean spirit. An unclean devil, an unclean spirit doesn't want to have anything to do with the Holy Christ. What are we to do with thee? They had nothing to do with Christ. The sinner who lives for the world and lives for his sin and lives because of his love of sin and because of the life that they live, they don't want anything to do with Jesus of Nazareth. They say the same thing. What are we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Those words. Let us alone. What are we to do with thee? Those words, let us alone, are one word in the original. And the one word means away. Away. And so this unclean devil was saying to Christ, away with you. Away with you. Where have we heard that before? There's the Savior and he stands before Pilate. And what did they cry? Away with him. Away with him. Crucify him. Crucify him. And I'll tell you something. That chant, those words, can be heard from the pews of many churches today. Maybe it has been heard in this very church, this free Presbyterian church. As God's servant for 15 years has preached the gospel and preached Christ, the Savior of men. But from the pew have come the words, away with him. Away with him. Have you ever said that? Many have the gospel preached to them by faithful ministers. Over and over again. And yet over and over again the response is the same. Away with him. Instead, they just want to be left alone in their sin. And they say in their hearts, away with your gospel. Away with your preaching. Away with your message of pardon and peace and assurance. Away with your gospel. Away with your Christ. Away with your heaven. What have we to do with thee, our Jesus of Nazareth? I want to warn you then. If you're one of those who for years have said to Christ, away with you. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? You know something, the day is coming when the Lord will say the same thing to you. Every time you've heard the gospel, you've heard the word, come. Isn't that right? You've heard the word, come. Come to the Savior, make no delay. Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. But your response has been the same, hasn't it? What are we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Well, the day is coming when you'll stand before God. As sure as you're sitting in this pew tonight, you'll stand before God. And you know what he'll say to you? Depart from me. Away with you. Depart from me. I never knew you. Oh, but I said in a free Presbyterian church, I said under the preaching of the gospel, I never knew you. I read my Bible. I prayed. I never knew you. And the word never is a word that means never at any time. I never knew you at any time. And for years, you've said, away with Jesus of Nazareth. What have I to do with thee? Well, that day is coming. That day is coming. When from the great white throne you'll hear those words, depart from me, ye cursed, into everlasting fire. I never knew you. Something to think about. You notice perception of the devil. Here this unclean spirit reveals how much he knew about the Lord. Verse 34, saying, let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee, who thou art. The Holy One. That's something. Coming from the lips of an unclean devil. I know thee, the Holy One of God. You'll notice regarding the devil's perception, he was aware of the Lord's intention. The cry of the unclean spirit was, "Art thou come to destroy us?" Notice he said, "Art thou come to destroy us?" More than one. As it was with the man called Legion, he was possessed of a legion of devils. And glory to God, Christ defeated every single one of them. Doesn't matter. One or 100 or 100,000, he can defeat them all. And he'll do it by the word of God. What a word is this? And this demon knew what the Lord was there for. "Art thou come to destroy us?" We read over in Hebrews, in chapter 2, Hebrews 2 and verse 14, "For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is, the devil, and deliver them who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. He himself likewise took part of the same." He became man, was God and man, two distinct natures and one person, God forever, "that through death he might destroy him that had the power of death," that is the devil. The devil was right. This unclean spirit was right. He said, "Art thou come to destroy us?" "Yes, I am. I'm come to destroy you." The Lord's intention is to destroy the unclean spirit and deliver this unclean soul. And the Apostle John emphasizes this, saying, 1 John 3, verse 8, "He that committeth sin is of the devil." That's not very flattering, sure it's not. He that committeth sin is of the devil. Are you living a life of sin? That's of the devil. God's word says that. "He that committeth sin is of the devil, for the devil sinneth from the beginning. For this purpose the Son of God was manifested, that he might destroy the works of the devil." Hallelujah. And that's what the Lord did for this poor soul there in the synagogue. He destroyed the works of this unclean devil and delivered the man from hell. And how did he do it? By the word of God. What a word is this? Marvelous, isn't it? What a word is this? No wonder then that the people who witnessed such a thing said, "What a word is this?" And you know something? This word hasn't changed. Still the same. Still the same word. Still the word of God. Still the inspired, infallible, inerrant word of the living God. That's why we love to preach it. The devil was aware not only of the Lord's intention, but of the Lord's identity. This unclean devil said, "I know thee, who thou art, the Holy One of God." See, the devils in hell know the true identity of the Lord Jesus. They do. Mark 3, verse 11, "And unclean spirits, when they saw him, fell down before him and cried, saying, Thou art the Son of God." Luke 4, verse 41, the devils also came out of many, crying out and saying, Thou art Christ, the Son of God. You know something? There's many a man who calls himself a preacher, and then there's many a man who calls himself a minister. Doesn't believe that. The devil knows more about Christ than some ministers know. In the Irish Presbyterian Church in the 1940s, a man called Professor Davy, who was lecturing the students, was a professor in Assemblies College in the Irish Presbyterian Church. You know what he said about Christ? He said he was the illegitimate son of Martha and a Roman soldier. Reprobate. He doesn't believe what this devil believes. He wouldn't acknowledge what this devil acknowledged. Thou art the Christ, the Son of God. Thou art the Holy One of God. But there's a warning here. There's a warning here because there are those who sit in our churches who have known the truth of the gospel from their childhood days. They started off learning the child's catechism and the shorter catechism and maybe the larger catechism, and they learned their verses and they learned their portions of scripture, and they were taught about the deity of Christ. They were taught, and they know. They say, I know he's God. I've heard it. It's been taught to me from my mother's knee. I've learned all these truths about the Lord. I know. Just like the devil, I know who thou art. Well, what have you done with that knowledge? Do you know something? If you die as you are, you'll pass from this scene of time and enter through the gates of hell crying out, I know. And for all eternity, echoing through the caverns of the damned, you'll be crying, I know. I know he's the Son of God. I know he's God the Son. I know he's the Redeemer of men. But I don't know him as Savior. I have it up here, but I don't have it in here. You know what that would make hell for you? That would make it two hells. To know all about Christ and yet never know him as Savior. There's only one thing can change that. The Word of God. As it changed this man in the synagogue. It's the word that disturbs the devil. It's the word that defeats the devil. What a word is this? It is the same word that not only disturbs the devil, but defeats the devil. Notice, with regard to the defeat of the devil, the Savior's response. No sooner had the unclean spirit spoken than the Lord responds. In verse 34, let us alone, the unclean spirit said. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. And Jesus rebuked him, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. How did he respond? He responded by the use of the word. The Lord rebuked him. It was the word. He responded to this evil fiend of hell as the Savior had done so often. As he did there in the wilderness. To the devil he said, "It is written, it is written, it is written." And the devil left him for a season. Defeated them by the word. What a word is this, believer? What a word is this? It's a great word. It's God's word. And the Lord used the word in so many occasions. In doing so, he put the devil to flight, and he put a few other boys to flight as well. When the scribes and the Pharisees confronted him, attempting to catch him out in his words, he responded in the same way, for he answered them and said, "Have ye not read?" See? Answered them with the word. "Have ye not read what David did when he was and hungered, and they that were with him?" Matthew 12 and verse 3. On another occasion he challenged the same crowd and said, "Have ye not read that he which made them at the beginning made them male and female?" Matthew 19 verse 4. On another occasion he put it to them, "Have ye not read that which was spoken by God, saying?" Matthew 22 verse 31. And speaking about himself, he said to his false accusers, "Have ye not read this scripture, 'The stone which the builders rejected has become the head of the corner?'" Mark 12. What a word is this? Because when he said to those scribes and those Pharisees, when they came with their accusings, their accusations, and the Lord rebuked them with the word, that silenced them. They had nothing more to say. You can read those passages. It silenced them. And the word of God will silence God's enemies every time. You know those boys that come to the door? Jehovah Witnesses. Mormons. Like to talk to you about the things of God. Oh, is that right? What do you believe about Jesus Christ? Oh, we believe he is God. No, you don't. You don't believe that at all. You believe he is a God. You don't believe he is the God. And when you know the word, they'll leave your door and you'll have silenced them because they don't have an answer to the word. What a word is this? And with Satan and his cohorts come against us with their railing accusations, always respond by using the word of the living God. And the word will give you the victory again and again and again and again. What a word is this? Praise the Lord for his word. You've the Lord's response, and then you've the Lord's rebuke. The Lord Jesus immediately rebuked the evil, unclean spirit and said, "Hold thy peace." It's an interesting word. Those words, "hold thy peace," mean be muzzled. The way sometimes you see someone taking their German Shepherd out for a walk, or their Doberman Pinscher, or the Rottweiler, and have a muzzle on it. Don't want the dog to bite anybody. Put the muzzle on. Well, the Lord put the muzzle on the devil. He put the muzzle on the devil. The same word is used elsewhere. He saith unto him, Friend, how comest thou in hither, not having a wedding garment? And he was speechless. The same word, speechless, muzzled. And when the Lord rebuked the unclean spirit, the Lord silenced it. Put a muzzle on him. Through the power of his word, he rendered the demon speechless. What a word is this? Notice, whether it is one demon or a host of demons, there is power in God's word to silence them all. Hallelujah. You recall that time recorded in Mark 4 when the disciples were in the ship and the Savior was asleep. And the disciples thought they were going to drown. And they went and they said something to the Lord they should never ever have said. Master, carest thou not that we perish? Nobody cared for the disciples more than Christ. And he stood up and he rebuked the wind. And there was a great calm. And we are told the disciples said, What manner of man is this? Even the wind and the seas obey him. They obeyed his. What a word is this? His word, the wind and the sea obeyed. And the word of the Lord brought peace to a troubled sea and peace to troubled hearts and glory to his name. And oh my friend, what a word is this? This word silences the demons, stills the tempest, settles the troubled heart. You've experienced that, haven't you? You've experienced that. You've had some problem in your home. You've been troubled in your heart. And you've gone and prayed and said, Lord, I need a word. And the Lord has given you a word. And the sea is calm. And the winds of adversity stop blowing. Because you know when you have Christ in the vessel, you can smile at the storm. It's his word. You'll notice also the Lord's rescue. The Lord rebuked the unclean devil with the words, Hold thy peace and come out of him. And then we read, He came out of him and hurt him not. Then we read, he came out. The Lord said, come out of him. Then we read, he came out. He spoke with power and authority. And what would have happened? What would have happened to this man if the Lord had not cast out this unclean spirit? What depths of sin and uncleanness and depravity would the devil have led this man into had the Lord not rescued him? I think of the word of the Lord in Revelation 2:24 to the church of Thyatira, as many as have not this doctrine and which have not known the depths of Satan. That's some expression, isn't it? The depths of Satan. And if you're not saved tonight, there's no telling where the devil will bring you and how deep into sin he'll bring you. He'll bring you into the depths of Satan. But for this man, through the word, he was delivered. What a word is this? I was a sinner, but now I'm free. His wondrous grace has rescued me. Once I was blind, but now I see. A brand from the burning, he rescued me. Once evil led me, but now God reigns. His wondrous grace has rescued me. Broken for air are sin's dark chains. A brand from the burning, he rescued me. And he rescued that poor soul that day in the synagogue. And he plucked him as a brand from the burning. And he did it by the power of his word. What a word is this. He rescued me, his own to be. A brand from the burning, he rescued me. Oh, how I praise him through all eternity. A brand from the burning. A brand from the burning. He rescued me. And he did it by the power of his word. In the last place, we've considered the word that disturbs the devil, the word that defeats the devil, and the word that dismisses the devil. The Lord uttered the command, come out of him, and he came out. You see, the devils and the demons have to bow to Jesus. But what was the intention of this devil? What did he intend for this dear man? We read, and Jesus rebuked him, verse 35, saying, hold thy peace and come out of him. And when the devil had thrown him in the midst, he came out of him and hurt him not. That's what he was about. He was out to hurt the man. But when the Lord intervened by his word, he hurt him not. Turn to Mark 9. And in Mark 9, the Lord has been on the Mount of Transfiguration. He's come down the mountain again, faced by the devil. In Mark 9 and verse 21, there was a man and he brought his lunatic son to the disciples. They couldn't do anything for him, and then he brought him to the Lord. And he asked his father, the young lad's father, how long is it ago since this came unto him? And he said, of a child. And oft times it hath cast him into the fire and into the waters, there it is, to destroy him. But if thou canst do anything, have compassion on us and help us. You see those words? The father said to the Lord, if thou canst do anything for us and help us. You see, the child was suffering at the hands of the devil, and because the child was suffering, the father was suffering. Maybe there's some here tonight. And you have a child somewhere. You have a son or a daughter somewhere. And the devil's out to destroy them. And you feel the pain. I know what it's like. And you feel the pain. You, the ones that weep the tears. You're the one who has the broken heart. You're the one who cries to God, save my son, save my daughter. The man said, have mercy on us. The man told the Lord, this devil is out to destroy my son. And that's the dirty business the devil is about. And many young lives he has destroyed. But there's hope. There's a God in heaven. There's a word that can break the power of cancer and set the prisoner free. A friend of mine from Ulster called me 2 weeks ago. He was all excited. He says, "Brother, I just called you to let you know. I led my brother to the Lord last night." He says, "I've been praying for him for 53 years. I've been praying for him for 53 years, and God saved him." Mother, keep out the praying. Father, keep holding on to God. And if you can get that wayward son or daughter under the word, there's power in the word. You notice this man was changed. An unclean devil had been dismissed by the power of the Lord's word. His life was changed. He was no longer under the influence of the devil. The spirit of uncleanness had been removed from his life, and he had been changed. And the Lord's still changing lives. The word of the Lord is still dealing with the devil in people's lives, and the blood of Jesus Christ hasn't lost any of its power to wash away the deepest dyed sin. The man was changed, and obviously the people noticed the change. I remember the night that I was led to the Lord on the 5th of May, 1969, the man who led me to Christ, after he led me to the Christ, he says, "Now, Reggie, people will expect to see a difference." Well, people saw the difference in this man. Because that's what they said in verse 36, and they were all amazed and spake among themselves, saying, "What a word is this with authority and power, he commandeth the unclean spirits, and they come out." They saw the difference. You can't go along through life claiming you're a child of God and there's no difference, no change in your life. You've got the Lord in your heart, there'll be a change. There'll be a change. And people will see it. And the first person to know it will be yourself. You see, it is the preaching of the word applied by the Spirit of God to the hearts of men and women that change lives. It is the preaching of the word that changes hearts, changes habits, changes homes. It's the preaching of the word that gives hope to the hopeless, help to the helpless, health to the sin-sick soul. It's the preaching of the word that makes the drunkard sober. It's the preaching of the word that makes the harlot pure. It's the preaching of the word that makes the blaspheming tongue praise the God of heaven. That's the preaching of the word. I'll tell you something right now. We don't need new methods. We don't need a new message. We need the power of God and the preaching of the word. That's what we need. The old story, it is ever new. The old story, praise the Lord, it's true. He was changed. He was cleansed. The unclean spirit came out, and when the Lord commanded the unclean devil to come out, it says, he came out. That's what the Lord specializes in. Making unclean pure. Making unrighteous righteous. Making sinners into saints. There's a fountain opened in the house of David for sin and uncleanness. And that fountain flows from the wounds of Christ. And the Word of God will direct you to that fountain, filled with blood, drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunged beneath that flood lose all their guilty stains. What a word is this. As the psalmist has said, wherewithal shall a young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word. What a word is this. May the Lord bless the word to our hearts. Now there's a sinner here tonight who don't know Christ and salvation. Will gladly, through the word, show you the way. And you can go home like this man, changed and cleansed, converted to Christ. Amen.
Let's bow our hearts in a closing word of prayer tonight. If you're without Christ and want to know him as Lord and Savior, speak a word with us. We'd be happy to take the time to show you your need of Christ and how he is able to save. What you need more than speaking with us is coming to the Lord. You can have him right where you sit. Come to Christ this night. Lay hold of him. This is the cry that we have for this pulpit, is that there would be a man here who will preach the word. For almost 40 years now, this pulpit has been occupied by men who have preached the word. This is the crying need of the hour. Make that the prayer of your heart, that the Lord would raise up a man to come and preach the word and continue on the ministry that has been begun here in Malvern. Our Father in heaven, we come to thee this night giving thee thanks for what we have heard from thy word. We confess that there is power in the Word of God. We're thankful that it is a sword of the Spirit, and we have felt that power in our own hearts and souls this very night. Lord, we would pray for those that are outside of Christ, that this would be the night that they would close with Thee, that this would be the night that they would know that their own hearts have been delivered when they hear the Word of Christ coming to them and speaking peace to their heart. Lord, you're able to do this gracious work. And we ask that you would do it for the glory of thy great name. Father, we are thankful for this congregation and the privilege that it has been to speak the word and preach the word day after day and week after week. And Lord, we would ask that you would raise up a man, that you would convince that man of his call to this pulpit, a man who will preach the word of God, a man who will exalt the name of Christ, a man who will indeed be used of thee in the flock of God. Lord, answer our cry for the glory of thy great name. Lord, we pray for each one in this congregation that they would make much of the word, that they would know its strengthening power in the inner man, that they would go from strength to strength, that they would know what it is to have the evil one even crushed under their feet as they walk with thee. Lord, you're able to do this. And we come to thee asking for greater things for this congregation than even things that have happened in the past. We know that the evil one opposes your people. We've been reminded this very night that he would go into the very synagogue where the word of God was being expounded. Lord, we would pray, protect the sheep, protect this flock. And Lord, we pray that you would yet use it for the glory of thy great name. Father, seal the word of God to our hearts tonight. Let not the evil one snatch away that which has been sown. And Lord, we pray that it would produce a great harvest, not only in our souls, but in the souls that we have contact with this week. Lord, we just give thee praise and glory and honor that our times are in thy hands. And that, Lord, you have the perfect will for our lives until the day you bring us all the way to glory. Help them. In each one of the lives gathered here, have your will and your way worked out in those lives. And Lord, we pray that as a congregation, you would continue to exalt Christ here and that others would hear the gospel and believe on him. Dismiss us with thy blessing. Be truly the abiding portion of all thy blood-bought people, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen.